To southeastern Turkey now, wedged between Iran and Iraq, the region has long been a well-traveled path for refugees. These days, Iranians fleeing their regime are joined by Afghans who are trying to escape their war-battered homes. While Turkey does not accept non-European refugees, it has still become a long-term stopping point for the poor and the desperate. NPR's Peter Kenyon visited the Turkish frontier city of Van and has this report.
The clear blue waters of Lake Van have long rippled against some highly fought-over ground. Once part of Greater Armenia, this land was conquered by the Persians and the Ottomans. These days, the largely Kurdish population in this corner of Turkey watch people pouring across the border not to wage war, but to flee from repression, bloodshed, and chaos in Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Sonar Çalış is with a Turkish human rights group that assists refugees.
Turkey is a bridge between the Middle East and Anatolia, and Van is a very important border for that. And we see a lot of people coming from Iran, Iraq, and especially lately, Afghanistan.
In a warehouse-lined industrial area on the edge of Van, Rang Mala puts down his tools and explains how he was forced to flee his native province in western Afghanistan in the face of brutal violence against civilians handed out by the Taliban.
The Taliban came one day to Herat, and they hanged a bunch of people. They would smash people in the heads, drive nails into people's heads. The Taliban is bad news.
Mala's first destination was neighboring Iran, which has been absorbing Afghan refugees since the war against the Soviets in the 1980s. The UN says there are nearly a million Afghans in Iran today. Some have suffered deportation or worse, and Mala says he kept moving, clear across the country and into Turkey.
You know, Iran is no better than the Taliban. They don't give you anything. It's like in Afghanistan. But here in Turkey, it's not like that. They let you come, and they even try and help you.
On a commercial street in downtown Van, men on stools hunch over low tables lined with full ashtrays and glasses of sweet tea. At one table, a man is muttering about the problems all the refugees cause, taking jobs, soaking up resources, getting involved in crime. But Lasky, a young schoolteacher, takes a more charitable view.
You can see some differences. The Afghans, you really feel that they have suffered. With an Iranian, it's hard to know. Is he a refugee, a businessman, a tourist? But with the Afghans, you hear the most horrible stories.
But while there are those here inclined to help refugees and asylum seekers, there are also predators who feed off the misery of the newcomers. In a small upstairs room above a row of shops, an Afghan woman working at a sewing machine starts to tell her story to a journalist, but is overcome by fear of what might happen if the authorities discover she's here. Her application has been rejected by the UN Refugee Agency. As she hides her face in her hands, her young daughter sings to herself and wraps a scarf around a stuffed animal toy. The Turkish woman helping this family survive, who gives her name as Nejla, is seething with anger at the people who prey on vulnerable refugees.
Some Afghans who came here before told this woman to tell the authorities that she had converted to Christianity. That means money comes from the West, from Christian groups, but none of it gets to the family. Those leeches take it all. And then, if the refugees are caught lying, their applications can fail and they're stuck.
But even UN approval is no guarantee. In another corner of Van, several young Iranians share their tales of delay and frustration. Arash Paju was young, enthusiastic, and politically active when he was in Iran, so much so that he was forced to flee well before the widely criticized 2009 elections that returned President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to power. Having come of age attending protests in Tehran that attracted only a handful of people, he found himself watching the biggest demonstrations of his lifetime on television from Van. For people like Paju, who have convinced the UN that they have a genuine fear of persecution at home, it's a life in humanitarian purgatory.
You tell me, what kind of life is this? We're here, we can't work, we don't have access to medical care, we can't go to school, they take money from us, and we wait here. And that's what they keep telling us, to wait. Not yes, not no, just wait.
Human rights groups say in Turkey's defense, it does provide schooling and medical care for young children, and for a country that officially doesn't accept non-European refugees, it's struggling with a sizable population at the moment. It's a situation that satisfies no one, and one that's not likely to change anytime soon. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.